Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. On behalf of myself, I'm Pastor Rod Hank, and Pastor Ryan Jerome, we are so pleased that you've decided to worship with us online today. Today's a special day in the church year. It is Christ the King Sunday. This is the Sunday where we raise Jesus up and remember that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is all in all to us. For us as Christians, this is our new year. We've just finished the long green season of Pentecost where we work as the church, and now we celebrate Christ being our King, the King of heaven and earth, and then we begin the season of Advent where we wait and we watch for the Messiah to be born. So, good morning and welcome to Christ the King Sunday. You'll notice the banner on the side over here has the names of Jesus because we lift his names on high today. A few announcements as we begin our time together. First of all, we will have a online Thanksgiving Eve service. It should be available. And when I say it should be, I'm the one who's going to be producing it. So let's just say it's going to be ready at noon on Wednesday. And you can watch that anytime after noon with your family and friends. You can pass it on to anyone whom you'd like to pass it on to, just like all of our online services. The second thing is, we are going to be decorating the parking lot for Christmas. We're going to do the trees and the parking lot, various trees. We're looking for families to volunteer. Now listen, we are going to volunteer. The Hank family, Janet and I, are going to be out there stringing lights, getting things ready, and we invite you to do the same thing. We challenge you to do the same thing. Please contact Michaela Tracy or the Evangelism Committee and let them know that you'd be willing to do it as well. We're also going to be transmitting music that's been made here at Joy Lutheran over the years. So the choirs, the solos, all the things that prepare our hearts and minds for Christmas will be transmitted through the parking lot as you drive past and look at the beautiful lights. Also, we are continuing with our stewardship for all seasons. Today we have a video. I hope you enjoy.
Good morning, everyone at Joy Lutheran Church. It is good to be with you today. On behalf of the Stewardship for All Seasons, I am so grateful to be here talking with you about the ways in which we are filling our members with joy here at Joy Lutheran Church. You know, a little over a year ago, I was contacted by the call committee here at Joy Lutheran Church for the very first time. And it's crazy to think about how one conversation started all of this process to bringing us together, to be doing ministry together. And I have to say, I am so grateful and so thankful that God has brought us together and that we are doing ministry together. Even in this crazy time of pandemic and COVID, we are still doing incredible things together in the name of Christ and carrying out ministry that God is calling us to. One of the things that I was told before coming here to Joy was about the incredible people that we have in our congregation who support the ministries here and who push and desire more for our programs that we have here because we believe in the mission that we share. And I've seen this firsthand because of the experiences I've had with our youth here at the church. Whether it's in confirmation or in our Joy Youth Group, I've seen the dedication that the members of our church have in believing in the possibilities and the power that God has in store for the youth here at church. And so in thinking about that, I thought it would be fun to have one of the members of our Joy Youth Group, our high school youth group here at Joy, share a little bit about her experiences in what youth group has been, but also what we hope youth group to be. So I've invited Abby Blom to come and share a little bit about her experience of Joy Youth Group here with us today. Abby, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So I would just like to say that we have the best youth group. It's incredible. The people that are in this group are such supportive and positive people. And we've gotten to do so many fun things in the past, from going to the youth gathering with 30,000 other youth Lutherans our age, to going to camp here in Colorado, and to meeting weekly with each other at church. It's really, really an important part of my life and of every single person that's a part of it as well. For the future, we hope to continue to grow in our faiths and to have places to go, mission trips to do, other gatherings, and people to help doing service projects and helping our community in any way that we can, as well as having time to make relationships with you and with each other as we ask questions and study the Bible and get closer to God. So It really is a really, really important part of so many people's lives, and your support is what makes it happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Abby. I really appreciate you sharing all of that. And, you know, we are so excited about all the opportunities we do have. Even, as I mentioned, even in this crazy time, we're still seeing ministry happen. Bible studies continue to be available on Wednesdays. Wednesday morning Bible studies, as well as men's Bible study on Wednesday evenings. I mentioned that confirmation is in full swing. Our Joy Youth Group meets weekly. Sunday school, we continue to provide Sunday school each and every week through online services. And it's amazing to see all of the incredible things that are still happening. And it really is a testament to this amazing God that we claim and that we call our own, and who has called us as his own. This is all possible because of you and because of your amazing support of the ministries here. But we also hope for more in the future. We hope to continue to grow our ministries here at church. We hope to continue to be able to follow the ways in which God is calling us to go out and try something new, to be bold, and to do new things, because we believe in the possibilities and we believe in sustaining and nourishing our people's faith here. I want to thank you again for taking the time to listen to us today. I hope that you consider your Stewardship for All Seasons pledge cards, and think about all the ways that the ministries of this church are done purely out of your goodness and your generosity. Thank you.
That concludes our announcements for today. Let us begin our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just like we always begin every worship service, every time we gather together, whether in person or virtually, let's take a moment to pass the peace. So the peace of the Lord be with you all. Please share that peace with those around you via text, however it is that you pass the peace. We continue with our confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, in whose image we were made, who claims us and calls us beloved. Amen. Take a moment for silent reflection. Holy One, we confess that we are not awake. We are not faithful in using your gifts. We forget the least of our siblings. We do not see your beautiful image in one another. We are infected by sin that divides your beloved community. Open our hearts to your coming. Open our eyes to see you in our neighbor, and open our hands to serve your creation. Amen. Beloved, we are children of God, and Jesus, our beloved, opens the door to us. Through Jesus the Christ, all of our sins have been forgiven. By Jesus, we are welcome. In Jesus, we are called to rejoice. Let us live in the promises that have been prepared for us from the foundation of the worlds. Amen. Let's sing together our opening song.
Tell your burdened heart, your burden. clear. Cast away your every fear. Only speak that he will hear. Alleluia. Everyone. Everyone. Down to the cross. The God in shadow. What you've done.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship today with the readings of the lessons.
The first reading is from Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16, 20 through 24. Because Israel's kings proved to be bad shepherds, Ezekiel declares that the Lord will assume the role of shepherd in Israel. The Lord will also set over them a shepherd Messiah, my servant David, who will feed and care for the people. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder, and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Here ends the reading. The responsive reading is Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7a. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. In this passage, God is praised for revealing ultimate divine power in raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrected exalted Christ is Lord of both the church and the entire universe, now and in the age to come. The reading. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Here ends the reading.
This is the Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus told his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? Or when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." We continue now with our children's sermon.
Come on.
Skull! Skull! Skull!
Hey, Pira, what you doing?
Well, I'm practicing my skull chant, Lindsay.
Yeah, I can see that, but you're doing that right now?
Well, yeah, it is Sunday, and I've kind of noticed that we haven't been doing this a whole lot on Sundays, and I'm kind of wondering if it's just because we haven't practiced it enough in church or around town. It just seems like people just aren't familiar that this is what we do on Sundays. At least where I'm from, that's what we do on Sundays.
Sure. So, okay, great. You know, you're in Bronco country now. So that might be a little bit of why we don't see a lot of the skull claps.
But don't Bronco fans do that too?
Not in the same way. No, I think that's that's a Minnesota Viking thing. But you know, your actions are as wonderful and adorable as they are. They actually remind me a little bit of the gospel. Okay. You know, I really love that you've found this thing that's kind of like second nature to you, right? It's kind of like, it's Sunday, this is what we do. And as positive and uplifting as it is, you know, it's just, that's not quite how we do it here, but I think we can really learn something from it. So in our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats. And one thing that you're reminding me of is those sheep. It's just sheep. It's not sheep. And what's so cool about the sheep is that God gave them gifts to help the poor and give them clothes and give them drink. And that's just something that they have always done. It's just, they don't really know anything different about, you know, so when they realized that Jesus was among them, they realized that they didn't realize it because it was just second nature to them. So I think what you're teaching us, Pastor Ryan, is a really cool lesson through this, because Jesus talks about what it's like to be in his kingdom, where all of his people are fed, all of his people are clothed, and we as the sheep can help with that. So by practicing kindness and compassion and sharing of our gifts and helping others, the more we dig into that, the more natural it becomes for us. And maybe things like the skull clap can catch on in other places like Colorado. Probably not.
Well, I hope you're right, because I think feeding the poor, or feeding the hungry, and clothing the people who need clothes, and just being there for our neighbors and learning to love our neighbors is really what Jesus is trying to tell us, that's what our lives are supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And you're probably right. There might not be a whole lot of skull claps happening around here on Sunday, but at least we're not all wearing cheese on our heads.
It's true. And your celebrations do bring joy, and that's what counts. And that's where we meet God every single day. So keep up the good work, keep practicing. You know, maybe I'll try it with you in a little bit.
Thank you, Lindsay. Would you mind if I prayed for us today?
I'd love that. Thank you, Pirai.
All right. Good and gracious God, we thank you for calling us to be your people, for teaching us what it means to be a part of your kingdom, to love and serve, to care for those who are in need. Help us to practice these things, that the ways of your kingdom may become natural and second nature to us, that it be just the way that we live our lives. We thank you once again for loving us and for calling us and for showing us the way into eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and all God's people said,
Amen. Skull.
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 Skull. Skull.
I get it. It's cool. I like it.
It is pretty fun.
Thanks, T-Rai.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Bye,
everyone.
Bye,
everybody. We'll see you next week. Go, Broncos!
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, actually, Christ the King Sunday is a relatively new festival in the church calendar, especially when you consider the over 2,000-year history of the church. It was instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI, and it was more or less created in response to a world that was increasingly changing and being pulled into and divided by things like nationalism, secularism, consumerism. It was a world that was still reeling from the effects of the First World War and the Spanish flu pandemic. So, you know, really, all the things that we couldn't possibly relate to in any way at all here today, right now. There were all these things that were vying for people's devotion and playing on the many insecurities that people were feeling at the time. The King Sunday was born as a calling back of sorts to the people to remember whose we are and who we are called to be. And while we recognize this day each year at the end of our liturgical calendar, perhaps this year, more so than most, it's a particularly timely reminder. I like to think of Christ the King Sunday as the summation of all the things we have seen and heard over the past year. 1 year ago, we began this journey through Matthew's gospel, and if you recall, it began with a very clear pronouncement from Jesus that the kingdom of God has arrived. But we are humans, after all, and human nature does not allow us to be so easily swayed to believe things simply because somebody says they are true. We want to see it. So in reality, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday at the end of the year because hopefully, after all that we've covered over the course of this year, after hearing story after story and teaching after teaching and parable after parable, we will finally see and understand to some level that Christ has not been lying at all. That Christ declared that the kingdom of God has arrived and then backed it up when he fed the hungry, healed the sick, taught radical things about love of neighbor, and showed us what the kingdom is really about. Christ announces the kingdom, and then our journey through the gospel is the way of showing us what the kingdom is like through Christ's words and deeds. Which is why I think it's so interesting that neither the sheep nor the goats realize what they've been doing. They don't realize that they have encountered Christ in their action or their inaction. Now, I'm willing to give a pass to the goats and understand their lack of awareness in the parable a little bit more, because they weren't doing these things to help people in the first place. So why would they have recognized Christ? But what I want to know is, how is it that the sheep don't know that they've encountered Christ? Why do they not recognize Christ in the ones they have served? Well, it should really come as no surprise that one of the greatest joys of my life has and is and will be being a father. Of course, as you know, we are expecting baby number 2 in the spring, but for the moment, for me, being a father means being dad to my daughter, Blakely. And I figure I better use this opportunity to get her into a sermon before she's old enough to be completely embarrassed when Dad talks about her. But any of you who are parents or who have been parental figures to someone can hopefully understand when I say that what fills my cup as a dad is watching this little girl, this amazing human, this life grow and learn and explore the world around us. It's incredible to take on this view of another life. And yet it is also one where I feel an immense amount of responsibility. Daily, I ask myself, what will she learn? How will she grow? Who will show her a world where grace and compassion and mercy are central to who we are as people? Who will teach her about love and caring for others? Who will she become? And like my parents and their parents before them, I feel the weight of that responsibility that somehow, as dad, I should have a role in teaching her some of these things. But it's a role that I cherish, knowing that if done well, the ways of the kingdom might grow a little more. Someone taught the sheep about compassion. Someone taught the sheep about caring for the least of our brothers and sisters. Someone taught the sheep empathy. Someone taught the sheep what love looks like. Someone taught the sheep the ways of the kingdom of God. And someone instilled these kingdom values so consistently and so constantly that they have become ingrained in the lives of the sheep so much that they couldn't possibly imagine doing anything different. They may not know why and they may not know who, but feeding and tending to the hungry and thirsty, clothing the naked, taking care of the sick, visiting the imprisoned are just the way things are done as sheep in the kingdom. And way back along the line of history and ancestry, someone learned this way from Jesus, who not only told us that a kingdom like this was possible, but showed us how it is real when we open ourselves to an encounter with God through our neighbors. Now, please hear me. This really isn't a parable about all the things you have to do in order to become a sheep. It's not orders for how we are to live, but opportunities for us to glimpse the reality of the kingdom in our lives. It's not about doing all the right things in order to be accepted into the kingdom, because you already are. Christ has already become incarnate. Christ has already lived, died, and rose again, precisely so that you and I and all would be justified. The grace of God is already in effect. We're not earning anything here. But what the parable is trying to help us see is that we are not only accepted into the kingdom of God, but now we are called to be transformed in the ways of the kingdom of God. That if we truly trust Jesus at his word, if the kingdom of God is truly present here and now, and if Jesus has truly shown us through his life, death, and resurrection what it looks like to live in this kingdom, then how could we possibly live any other way? You know, I think the sheep don't recognize Jesus because it never dawned on them that there would be anyone who was not Christ to them. Such is the way of the kingdom, where Christ has taken all to himself and made them his own. Such is the way of the kingdom, where all people have become brother and sister to each of us. Such is the way of the kingdom, where every mouth is fed. where every person is clothed in righteousness and grace. Every person is cared for. Every person is welcomed and an essential part of this community of faith. Such is the way of the kingdom where Christ the King reigns. No matter what this old and tired world throws at us. Such is the way of the kingdom that we would be changed and transformed so that our lives would accept and reflect the reality of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is King. Christ is the ruler of all. Christ's reign has begun. Blessed Christ the King Sunday to you, my brothers and sisters, my fellow woolly sheep members. The kingdom is yours. Now let us go out and be sheep. Let us do sheep things. For in doing so, the kingdom way becomes the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe in this broken. There is only one salvation.
We continue our worship by joining with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord and King, throughout time and in all places, by confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us join together our hearts and our minds as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, today we stand and we boldly confess that you are our King. We ask, Lord, that you so inspire our hearts and our minds by your will and your way, the life that you lived, that we follow you, even if we don't always recognize it, even if we don't always know, by the power of your Holy Spirit, empower us to follow where you lead. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we pray for our world right now. It seems like everyone knows someone who is sick. Everyone knows someone who has died. Everyone knows someone whose life has been affected by COVID. We ask, Lord, that you make your presence known in this world through the power of the scientists, through the power of these vaccines, through the power of our healing bodies. Make us whole. We ask today that you be with all those who are sick or suffering, those families who are watching or waiting, who can't be in the same room with their loved ones at this moment. We ask, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit of healing and strength on all those in need today. We also pray for Mary Steinert. We pray for Mike Birkin, my nephew, who had open heart surgery. We pray for Merle Brown. We also pray today, Lord, for all those that we hold precious in our hearts, and we raise their names up to you. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts and minds for Thanksgiving, we do pray for all those who are alone, those who are lonely, those who are missing their family members who can't make the journeys this year like they'd like to. We also pray for those who are choosing to gather together, those who are actually traveling. We ask that you watch over them and help them to be safe. Give them hearts and minds that are centered in you. And we pray that even in times like this, that you will give us thankful hearts and minds and know how much you love us and all good things come from you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen. We'll continue with our offering, especially this week as we raise up Christ as King. I invite you all to take a moment and think about what it means that Jesus is the most important thing in your life as we enjoy this offering music together.
By the power of his blood.
We continue our worship with Holy Communion. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Another time, our Lord Jesus had gathered with his disciples, and he taught them to pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." I invite you to gather up your elements and take a piece of the bread. This is the body of Christ given for you. And taking your cup of wine, "This is the blood of Christ shed for you." I invite you to receive the blessing. Now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing song. Beloved of God, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.